Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Normally, this would be our monthly opportunity to spend an hour with the governor of Virginia, whoever that person is. Since back in the George Allen days, that individual has come into the studios here in Richmond and has sat down and taken calls from voters and listeners here at WRVA, taking questions from the moderator. I happen to be the moderator these days. It's a great tradition. And since I've been on the show for a year, I really have, you know, I'm not here to make friends, but I'm also not here to make enemies. So, you know, one of the things that I've tried to do with the program is ask very clear questions and then be quiet and let the governor speak. Without interrupting, without being contentious. I mean, I will ask a follow-up question, and I don't pull a lot of sneaky stuff where you try to be nice during the commercials and then you ask an ugly question. I'm very upfront. Here are the questions we're going to talk about, and here are the callers we've got stacked up and the issues. So, you know, it's not a contentious situation. I have to be honest with you. I've enjoyed my conversations with Ralph Northam. I'm a Republican, as you know. He's a Democrat. But it's been a good give and take, and even, you know, on issues where you and the audience probably know I'm 180 degrees opposite of the governor, I feel like it's incumbent upon me in this role to give him the chance to speak directly to you. So, unfortunately, with the circumstances that have unfolded in his life since January, the governor has not been with us on this program. Last month, as a former communications director, I can tell you, I kind of got it last month when he didn't come on the show. Because, you know, when the world is beating you up and everything you do is wrong, sometimes you just need to step out of the spotlight and let everybody calm down. So I was disappointed that he didn't come on the show, but I kind of understood. Like, he needs to just take a month and not create any more dramatic headlines. And let's be honest, he made this comment about abortion. Third trimester abortion and how to handle a born child. And a lot of people took it as infanticide. And I don't know how you get around that. He made that on our sister program up in Northern Virginia. So I kind of understood backing off last month. But here we are in March, and the governor's team has said that he won't be with us today. And I just want to explain to our audience what we go through. Our producer, Trey Yates, corresponds with the governor's staff to set this up. And Trey, you join us here on the air. I want our audience to understand we have reached out to the governor. You've explained to him I defended his wife when everybody was going after the first lady. Mm-hmm. I actually have said on the air that I think everyone is really overreacting to the photograph, or the idea that he did blackface as Michael Jackson. Now, maybe you want to dismiss my opinion because I'm a middle-aged white guy, but I mean, you've shared that this isn't a bash Ralph Northam show that I've been doing here, right?
Oh, exactly. All that I've said, we'll do accommodations. We can take calls. We can not take calls. We can make it just a short interview segment instead of
abbreviate it. Right, abbreviate it.
Exactly. And the answer has been, we're just going to pass this time.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's becoming a problem here. And again, I want the governor to come back on the program. I want to be fair with him. I do think there are some questions about what has transpired since January that need to be answered and clarified. So I've made a little list of questions that I would ask of the governor. I'm going to share those with you in a couple of minutes. I'm very curious to hear from our audience what you would want to say to or ask the governor. And remember, I've said this when the governor's sitting right next to me. This is a program on WRVA. We are a news station, not a crazy station. We try to be gentlemen and gentle ladies on this program. So even today, I'd like to keep that rule. Share with me what you would ask the governor and what you would want to say to the governor if he were here in the studio today. 345-1140, 345-1140. And we're going to take your calls in a few moments. Since the governor is not with us today, I thought, you know what, let's get some perspective other than my own as the host. A guy who's been following Virginia politics, knows just about every player in it for the last three decades, Dr. Bob Holdsworth with a Decide Smart. And you and I go way back to the Channel 8 days when we would talk politics there. So I feel comfortable asking you, Dr. Bob, shoot straight with me. Do you think that it's legitimate, both as a public servant and, you know, the strategy of politics, for the governor to bail on this program today?
I think one could make the argument that the governor's folks want to control the message for a little while longer. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be in unscripted situations too often. That makes some sense, John, that they would see it that way. But at some time, particularly in the near future, it's going to really be important for the governor to get out there and show the people that he's the governor of Virginia, that he's willing to take on all comers, willing to respond to all questions, because I think that's what people want to see out of their politicians. I think generally a lot of the public still likes Ralph Northam. We've seen some public opinion polls saying the majority want him to stay in office, don't want him to resign. And beyond that, he actually needs to do this for not only himself, but for the upcoming elections for his own party. You referred, for example, to this abortion issue and the mess he kind of made in his comments in Northern Virginia. I don't think the governor meant to defend infanticide up there, but certainly there is a reading of those comments that could lead anyone, a reasonable person, to those conclusions. I think it's important for him to be out there and to be saying why he doesn't believe in infanticide, why he thinks that that was misconstruing what he intended to say, even if he chose his words ineptly at that time. Because if he doesn't, all the Democrats are going to have to defend this during the course of this campaign. We've already seen some mailers go out from the Republican Party, attacking Democratic candidates exactly on this issue. And it's the governor who really put them in this position. He needs to go out and try to clean that up the best he can. So my sense is that people expect the governor to do the job for Virginia every day. And part of that job, ultimately, mm-hmm. is being out front, being the public spokesperson for the Commonwealth, and they expect him to take on the tough questions. Yeah. And my sense is that I can understand that maybe he's gone an extra month without going on to the media, but it's about time, I think, that the governor begin to act like the governor he had been for the last year.
Yeah. He did some national interviews. I think that was probably a mistake. I don't think those helped him. Would you agree? The CBS thing with Gayle King, that was a mess too.
Yeah, that's part of the issue is that I think probably some of the people who are advising him are a little worried about what happens in these unscripted situations. Mm-hmm. Certainly he thought he was doing the right thing on that CBS interview, but when he spoke about African-Americans who came to the U.S. as indentured servants, Gayle King picked up on that right away, said, no, this was slavery. They didn't come here, you know, essentially on a four-year gig, that this was something much
to
more—
earn their freedom.
Yeah, this was something much more horrific. And, and I think the governor felt in some ways very unhappy with that interview because, again, he was out there trying, he thought, to make amends and wound up making things worse. So my sense is that he probably has advisors telling him to stay out of these unscripted situations. But I think it's important for him to be out in public in a number of ways. Mm-hmm. And even in the unscripted situations, he hasn't been that visible. So my sense is that over the next month or two, the governor probably, I would guess, we're going to see more of him, hear more of him. We'll certainly hear more of him before the veto session for the legislature. But it's also important for him to deal with the media, to take the tough questions, and to show that he is really capable of responding to them in a appropriate way and a compelling way. So my sense, again, is that it's unfortunate that he's not here today, though I can understand it. At the same time, I believe that it's in his interest in the long run to be more visible, to be more out in public, and to take the kind of questions that the public's going to have on a show like this, John.
Yeah. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take some calls from folks who do have questions, and we'll see if they match with the 7 or 8 questions I've already written down, and I'm sure you've got some things that if he were here, you would want to ask him, and I've got some some observations that some of my colleagues have offered about how other governors might have dealt with this. I also want to say, do you think he should have resigned? All that will, as we continue our conversation here on what should be Ask the Governor with Ralph Northam. I'm joined by Dr. Bob Holsworth from Decide Smart. It's John Reed on News Radio WRVA. Your call's next. Normally be our Ask the Governor program, where once a month Virginia's governor, whoever that person happens to be, comes into the studio. It dates back to George Allen sitting down with whoever the host is of this morning show and taking questions from the host and calls from our listeners, the voters. And I'm joined this morning not by Ralph Northam, who has decided for the second month in a row to duck out of his own radio program, but by Dr. Bob Holsworth from Decide Smart. We were talking a little earlier about why the governor would choose not to come on the program. And we do have some people have called. So, Dr. Bob, let me go to some of our callers. The question I asked here was, what would you ask the governor if he was in the chair today, or what would you have to say to him? And I do ask you, I know a lot of people are frustrated and kind of angry with the guy, but even though he's not here, I want you to, you know, please keep it like Virginians. We'll be gentlemen and gentle ladies here. All right. So we'll begin here with Jeff. You're live on Ask the Governor Without the Governor on News Radio WRVA.
Hey, John. And well, we'll just make believe the governor is there.
Okay.
So governor, why is it? Let's say this was your first to be election and you've just done nothing to go ahead and disprove the voters that they should be voting for you. You've done nothing whatsoever over the past 2 months. So why in the world should I vote for you? Because 2 months or 2 governors ago, Bob McDonald, when he was facing all the criticism, I was on the air with him and Jimmy Barrett.
Oh, you were one of the people who called that at that time, because I was not hosting the show then. It was Jimmy, but everyone has told me that Bob McDonald, who, you know, is getting the heck kicked out of him for all the scandals associated with his administration, he did come on the program and kind of took the heat.
Yeah, you want, I just real quickly, my question to the governor was that why are you using our taxpayer dollars to go ahead and defend your wife? That's not what I went ahead and am paying taxes for.
Mm-hmm. And what did he say?
He stumbled. Oh, well, there's a certain reason we have this is basically, and he wouldn't finish his sentences. He said, well, this is all built into the budget.
I see.
And he did nothing but the political jargon.
Well, Jeff, it's important. I don't want to relitigate the Bob McDonald thing, especially since the court.
I get
what you're saying, but that you have made an important point that I think our audience that's listening to this hour needs to be aware that Bob McDonald, at a time where he was really going through a bunch of serious accusations, came on the air and answered those questions directly. And I, like I said at the beginning, I do think that to take a month off, especially when the General Assembly was in session and there were really important pieces of legislation that needed to be dealt with, and all of this was a distraction, the allegations of appearing in blackface, I mean, it's not like it was impropriety directly related to his work as governor, you know, in a contemporary sense. I think that might have been reasonable, but to duck out now. Hey, let me go to Brad. Brad, you're on the air with us here on Ask the Governor Without the Governor. What would your question be today?
My question would be, who's the woman in the Klan getup?
Oh, that's interesting. You think it's a
woman?
Because,
of course it is. Look at her. She's the same distance shorter than the man in the blackface as Pamela Northam is than Ralph Northam.
Oh. Do you think that's the situation?
it's his date, and that's why he won't say it's he in the blackface, because if he says that, he'll have to say who the other person is. I mean, I don't like Ralph Northam. I think he's a rat, but I think that he, and the way he treated Ed Gillespie is a disgrace. But I think he has enough decency left in him where he's trying to protect a woman here. And he doesn't, I mean, what people ought to be asking is, was he dating Pamela, now Pamela Northam, when he was in med school? He was not married to her then, but he could have been dating her. When I was in law school in that same era, and I went to school with his brother, mm-hmm. we used to have theme Halloween parties. And you came as your favorite thing sometimes. And I came as a preppy girl one year with my now wife. And, you know, I think he was there just as that Mark Herring, who is even worse than Northam is, I think they wore this makeup as a tribute to
well,
black
that,
people.
Listen, that's an interesting assertion. And you know what? Whether he has another story to share with about that picture or not, he does need to answer the question about why he originally said that that was him in the picture, not identifying which one, whether he was in the Klan outfit or in the blackface, and then did a 180. I mean, that's a problem. That's an integrity problem that he's going to have to answer eventually. So I think you bring up a good point, and you make, you know, that's a much deeper allegation that if you were on the air, I guess it would be uncomfortable for him. Hey, we're back with more in just a few moments. 345-1140, if you've got questions for us here on News Radio WRVA. 9:35 on this Wednesday morning as we continue with the Ask the Governor program here on News Radio WRVA, just without the governor, Ralph Northam. And his staff have sent word that he will not be appearing today for his own radio program. This is unfortunately the second month in a row after the scandal that enveloped the governor back in January that he's chosen not to be here on the program. So we have chosen to continue with the show today and take your calls and get your feedback on where things stand for Ralph Northam and what you would ask him if he was here. I'm joined by Dr. Bob Holsworth with Decide Smart. And you know what? I want to get right to a couple of calls so that we don't burn through our time without getting to you. Catherine, you've been holding. You're live now on News Radio WRVA.
Hi, John. I just wanted to let you know that I commend you on providing a platform for our governor to, you know, express himself even without controversy. I just appreciate to hear, you know, a Democrat coming on to a more conservative or Republican show. It's refreshing just in general.
Well,
thanks,
Catherine. I think it is a unique situation with the polarization in our society today where a lot of Democrats and quite frankly, Republicans, if everything were reversed, would say, oh, heck no, I'm not going on a show that's hosted by someone who's of the other political party or has an audience that's not necessarily my fan base. And I want to be sensitive to that. And I try to be sensitive when the governor's here. So, thank you, Catherine, for taking note of that. I want to bring in Dr. Bob Holsworth. We will go back to your calls at 345-1140, get your thoughts on what you would ask the governor. Bob, should the governor have resigned back in January? On the days we were doing almost, you know, 12 hours straight here on the air, I thought he was going to, but I said publicly, no, he shouldn't. This is something from 1984. Why in the heck should he step down from this office now? Even if it's awful and embarrassing, why do that now?
Yeah, I would have been very surprised if ultimately he had stepped down, mm-hmm. John, that what you typically see with a lot of political figures today is they try to weather the storm the best they can. Now, sometimes they can't. You looked at an instance like Al Franken, who decided that ultimately he couldn't do that up in Congress. But for the most part, they do try to weather the storm. They try to buy some time and then ultimately hope that they can act in ways that make people forget a little bit about the problem. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't long after, it was just a couple of days after this storm had first hit, that the stories emerged about Lieutenant Governor Fairfax.
Yeah.
And once that happened, it made it impossible, I think, to think that Governor Northam was going to resign and turn the state over to Justin Fairfax.
And he's the one who's really in a problem. Not that it's a contemporary issue for him, these allegations of sexual abuse and assault, but it's a legal issue.
Yeah, the challenge for Justin Fairfax is I don't know if there's going to be any legal repercussions, but certainly the charges that have been made against him are criminal charges.
Right. Allegations.
And the two women who have come out basically have accused him, one of rape and the other of sexual assault. Now, Fairfax is in another kind of bind because he's not simply fighting for his political life or his political career. It's hard to see how he could resuscitate that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really just fighting for his life right now, John, and his reputation. He was, during the session, his law firm put him on paid administrative leave. And if he resigned, I think many people would see it as an admission of guilt. And so not only would his political career end, but it would be difficult to see how he would even get a job attorney. So
he's got to fight it.
Right. So
assuming he didn't do it, he's
right,
got to fight it.
Right. If you assume that he feels that he's been unjustly accused,
mm-hmm.
As he certainly has expressed, he has no other choice but to fight it and to remain in office. And that makes it actually impossible to think that Ralph Northam would even consider resigning any longer.
And then we've got Mark Herring, who has acknowledged that he performed in blackface. I mean, as if this is the worst thing that somebody could do. I mean, you would think, again, this is my opinion, but gosh, you would think that we were acknowledging that these men were saying, yeah, you know what? I was a racist back when I was 22 years old, and I used to go beat the heck out of black families or burn crosses on their front yard. That would mean to me, you need to step down. But this, I understand the historic symbolism of it, but no one here was deliberately trying to be offensive, even if other people took offense. And I,
well, for a while, Herring seemed to be the one person who had, by and large, escaped a lot of opprobrium from
mm-hmm,
this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one person who hadn't held a press conference. And then, and this might have something to do with Ralph Northam's decision today, just a few weeks ago, Herring went on the Kojo Nambi show up in Washington and turned out to make, I think, more of a mess of it because basically he had called for Northam's resignation the day after this had occurred and only to find out that he again had appeared in blackface at some time. And it was very difficult. And when he expressed that, he said that he had been haunted by what he had done for 40 years. But 2 days previously, he hadn't been haunted enough to not call for Northam's resignation. And Kojo Nambi asked him about that.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a really cogent and compelling explanation that Mark Herring had at that time for, you know, how did you call for his resignation? Well, at the same time, you said you were haunted by having done something similar
to what he had done with
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. One of the questions that I want to ask the governor, quite frankly, is, and I think this is the only element of this that gives me pause in his leadership, is why he said that he was in that picture, the one with the guy in blackface and the other person in the Klan outfit that our previous caller said might be a woman. Why did you say you were in that and then you did a 180 the next day? And for a VMI guy who was the head of the honor court, where you're not allowed to make, I mean, you don't get the option of, oops, I misspoke. I mean, you better think twice before you say something that's wrong, because that's going to be considered a lie. I mean, I think he's got to kind of answer how that went down. I would never acknowledge being in a photograph that I would recognize immediately was so offensive if it wasn't me.
Right. That to this day is somewhat inexplicable, John, that mm-hmm. what he did on Friday night. I tend to be one of the people who believed him on Saturday, that when he said that he didn't believe that he was in the picture, largely because he then followed that up with something that was quite negative about himself. When he talked about the dance contest and being in blackface with Michael Jackson, and even somewhat boasting that he had won the dance contest. So why would he have brought that up if he was actually lying about being in the picture in the first place?
Mm-hmm.
The Friday night situation, I think the more we look into this, I think we're going to find that some of his advisors and some of the people who were telling him about communicate said, you got to get out there, got to say something.
Yeah.
And he basically apologized, ironically, I believe, for something that he certainly said the next day that he didn't do. I tend to believe him on the next day, largely because he then accompanied that with a sort of an apology for what he did in that dance contest that he wouldn't have had to bring up if he was really trying to hide everything.
Yeah, that is a problem. So I want to ask him to explain how the details of the yearbook picture. What was this party? Which classmates have you talked to about it? What do they remember about the party? Was it a couple's party? Why admit to something if you weren't in it?
You know, I'd like to see some of the media actually speak with the classmates.
They are remarkably uncurious about this, Dr. Bob. There's a lot of criticism to go around here, but some of these investigative reporters need to get on the stick. And I'm surprised they haven't. Hey, I do want to get to more calls. 345-1140. We're going to take a quick break, and then I promise I will come to some of our callers who've been holding. Stay with us here on News Radio WRVA. All right, we continue our Ask the Governor program without Virginia's governor, Ralph Northam, today for the second month in a row. And I promised we would take some of your calls, so let me get right to him. If you can keep them quick, tell me what you would ask the governor if he was here today or what you would have to say to him. Chuck, thanks for holding. You're on News Radio WRVA.
No problem, John. Thank you for having this format. I would real quick here, I would question the governor on some of his policies that he's been trying to cram down our throat since he's been in, because to be honest with you, there's really nothing out there that I agree with. And real quick, he wants a complete ban on assault-style weapons. He wants a complete ban on any magazine, weapon that holds more than a 10-round magazine. Don't need a picture ID to vote. And I believe he wanted to reinstate the driver's licenses for people that were suspended because it's too difficult for them to get to court. John, this stuff just makes no sense to me, my friend.
Well, Chuck, you know what you just did is shown you just showed the governor and the staff that if they made it through the first 30 minutes of this program answering those questions, they'd get to the real policy stuff, because I think a lot of people want to ask about that.
And I mean, to the point where, and I would say it very respectfully, and I don't mean any disrespect when I ask the question now, I would ask him when him and his staff, how often are they subject to take drug tests? I mean, this stuff makes no sense to me, John.
Chuck, I appreciate the call. Bob, you are on the air on News Radio WRVA. Ask the governor without the governor.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
All this brouhaha about blackface, it's obviously very bad, but it is nothing in comparison to the comments he made on the Washington area radio station a few weeks ago as a doctor saying he would allow a newborn baby to die on the table. That is murder. That's far worse than any blackface issue at all.
Bob, a lot of people have said that, and I think you're right. I think we'd need to ask him. Governor, as a doctor, as a political leader, explain how what you described, and we could play it here, explain how what you described is not infanticide. I mean, maybe there's some explanation that I don't get, but you're right. A lot of people who called in on those days that we were kind of on a resignation watch said, this is the description of infanticide. I want my doctor to save a life once it's in the in the world, not allow it to happen. Yeah. Dr. Bob Holdsworth is with me.
John, that's going to be the issue that's going to come up in this election cycle.
Yeah.
That, we're in an election cycle where every member of the General Assembly is running for election. The Democrats have done very well in the suburbs. The Republicans haven't done so well. This is going to be an important message that the Republicans are going to bring out in all of these suburban jurisdictions.
Yeah.
And it's very important that Governor Northam be public in responding to that.
You think it's true that that comment is the reason that somebody leaked this picture that apparently no one was able to discover before he made those comments? You really think that was the catalyst for this?
I think that's why I think we need some reporting on exactly how this got out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to take some digging. But by and large, it would seem that that timing wasn't coincidental, that he makes this comment on a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then, according to what some people believe, that maybe it might have been one of his classmates who had known about this picture, said, well, this is the way of doing that. I don't know if that's the case or not.
Right.
But I'd like to see some reporting that would actually dig this up. But he began sort of digging the political hole, you might think, with those comments. And those are the comments that Republicans are going to really focus on far more, I think, than the picture, the yearbook picture, in the upcoming election cycle, not only against him, because he's not on the ballot, but against all these Democrats who are running for the assembly who thought that the Democratic Party was going to be able to retake the, you know, the control of the General Assembly. That
this
is now in question.
Yeah. Last 30 seconds. I know Ralph Northam doesn't stand for re-election as governor. You think he's done politically in the state if he's able to hold on as governor?
I think he will hold on as governor, and I think the governor, by and large, didn't really have many more political aspirations. Though
anyway,
he said he wanted to go back and become a doctor, you know, work as a doctor again. I believed him on that. And my sense,
that may be a problem. You know what? I've had some people who said I wouldn't have him as my governor, my doctor, if he wouldn't save a baby's life on the table. I mean, he's got that issue to deal with, too, just, you know, professionally, to be honest. Dr. Bob Holdsworth from Decide Smart, I really appreciate you joining us today. And again, I want to extend the invitation to the governor and his staff. We would love to have him here on the program. We will try to be fair and let him speak if he wants to come on. It doesn't have to be today, but we appreciate the phone calls this morning, and that does it for us.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.